Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for holding, and welcome to the Achmea analyst call. At this moment, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. I would now like to hand over the conference to Ms. Bianca Tetreault. Please go ahead.
Well, warm welcome indeed to this analyst call. As the new CEO of Achmea, it's the first time for me to present our half-year figures. I will start with the highlights of our figures and will give my thoughts and reflections also in perspective to our strategy. Then I will give the floor to Michel Lamy, our CFO, who will give more details on the financials. As mentioned, after the presentations, there will be time to raise some questions, and please feel free to do so. Well, Achmea is a company, and I'm very proud of this company. We are a company that is close to the customers and the society. That is within our DNA. We were founded by our customers already 210 years ago. Our colleagues really want to make a difference for their customers, and we showed that recently with the floods in Limburg, but I will come back to that later on. We are well on the way with the realization of our strategy, The Sum of Us, which we launched at the end of 2019. We are in good shape. We are the market leader on many fronts in the Netherlands with great brands. The strategy is solid and lifted off very well. We will continue to develop this strategy, of course, and adapt it to changing circumstances. Looking to our figures, the operating result increased to 363 million compared to 127 million in the first half of 2020. It was again not an ordinary half year. COVID-19 was still around and our employees worked mainly from home. This makes it even more special that we were able to serve our customers with high customer satisfaction rates. In addition to the impact of COVID-19, we have recently seen higher climate-related damages, including the snowstorms in February of this year. Going to our first slide, I see strong performance in the first half of the year with an operating result, as mentioned, of 363 million. We managed to increase the result in all our major business lines in the Netherlands. But even more important to me and for the future is the commercial growth in non-life and fee increase at retirement services with new mandates in asset management and pension administration. We also saw premium growth in all our international activities. And our capital position remained strong at 211% with a sound liquidity position on holding level. The second half of the year remains uncertain because of the financial impact of the floods in July. Our first estimation is that it will have a net impact of 50 million euros. However, this is still uncertain because it will take a while before all the claims are known and can be settled. I will say a few words about the financials at slides 4 and 5, and Michel will go into detail on the segments later on. The operational result increased in both our health and non-health businesses. The main contributors to the result were non-life, life and pensions, and health. Our gross written premiums decreased slightly due to a decrease in health and our pension and life service book. The operating expenses increased somewhat due to higher personal expenses and pension charges and our ongoing investments in IT to maintain our frontrunner's position in customer services and increase efficiency. Maybe a few words about the segments. First of all, non-life in the Netherlands. We see premium growth in line with our strategy and focus on online distribution with high-valued customer service. The result was impacted by COVID-19, the snowstorm Darcy, and additional provisions for personal injury. Our pension and life book is mainly closed book. The decline in gross written premium is in line with our projections, but more important, our operational expenses were further reduced in line with our service book strategy due to a constant focus on cost-cutting initiatives. Also, our platform rationalizations are well underway in life and pension and are an important driver behind the cost decline. The retirement service segment has a growth strategy. We are very well positioned in the Dutch market and have a lot of experience in the new DC pension contract. Also, in the first half year, the fees have increased in line with our growth strategy and due to new asset management mandates and pension administration activities. We are accelerating our IT investment for asset management, our mortgage businesses, pension fund administration, and we aim for process optimization, efficiencies, and innovation. In health, COVID-19 is leaving its mark. The number of COVID-19 hospital admissions is currently manageable. This means that there is more room for regular care. We are actively involved to speed up the catch-up care and to mediate between our customers and hospitals. We see an increase in non-COVID healthcare, but not yet back at the pre-COVID-19 levels. Also a few words about our international activities. We see further premium growth driven by all the countries. We are constantly seeking for opportunities to increase market share. In Slovakia, we strengthened our distribution power with the completion of the acquisition of Postova Poštovna. Our strategy, the sum of us, is well underway. I already mentioned that I'm proud that our brands rank high in customer satisfaction. You see this at slide 6, where we give insight in the net promoter scores of our brands per business line. The focus on customers and how we help them when events occur makes us very unique. Think, for example, on the recent floods in Limburg. Within 24 hours, we were there on the spot. We set up a temporary office in a hotel, and we used our technology to send SMS messages to all our clients in the region to inform them that we were there to help them. We settled claims, give support where needed, and for example, with cleaning, repairs, and temporary housing. What's also shown on slide 6 is that our growth strategy in non-life and retirement services is well underway. That is important because we want to compensate the declining gross written premium in our life and pension service book in the future. We create value for all our stakeholders. Based on our long-term focus, we continue to invest in the sustainable development of our company. One of the important pillars of our strategy is sustainability. As an organization with a mutual identity, we are very well positioned to play an important role in several problems in the society. We realize and believe that climate change, for example, affects everyone. The potential long-term consequences are significant. On slide 7, you see a few examples on ESG actions. Our real estate investment fund scored the highest rating at the global ESG benchmark for real estate. The Achmea Innovation Fund supports sustainable companies in their growth path. For example, we recently acquired an interest in Onto, one of Europe's largest electric vehicle sharing platforms, and Landlife, a technology-driven company that plants trees in a scalable way. We also ensure and think along with the sustainable Ecodorp Boekel as a sustainable partner. What is also crucial for long-term value creation is the employee engagement. Even in 2020, when everybody worked from home, our employee engagement increased. Besides this, we are seen as an attractive employer. That is because of our mutual DNA, together with the fact that we are a leading company in technology. Our employees can develop themselves, and we are front runner in new innovative ways of work. Another important pillar of our strategy is customer orientation and growth. As you can see on slide 8, we have a large customer base with 10 million customers in the Netherlands. If we use our data smartly, we know more about our customers and their preferences than any other party. We are the market leader in the Netherlands with a wide range of products and services. We are the only one who can make combinations between healthcare and real estate, or think about sustainable cities with innovative insurance propositions like Ecodorp Boekel. We have a leading position in mobile and online services, which we are expanding further using chatbots, speaking to text, and open platform technology. All brands make use of this, which enables us to utilize our economies of scale. Our customers are already benefiting from this, which is reflected in the customer appreciation and growth in premium volume. At the end of 2019, we launched our new strategic plan, The Sum of Us. Being relevant as an organization with a cooperative background to our customers and creating value for society. I already give a few examples how we do this. With our innovations and knowledge, we want to make the difference on 5 socially relevant themes. You will find them on slide 9. It's about health, clean, safe and smart mobility, sustainable home and living, carefree entrepreneurship and financial solutions. We are well on track with our strategy implementation. On slide 11, you see the areas that are of extreme importance in the implementation. We focus on customers, digitization, our cooperative identity, and sustainability. We can perfectly serve our customers remotely, with good and increasing customer satisfaction levels. We have come a long way with digitization, helped by our direct focus. That combination is unique. Also, we are forefront with digitization. At the same time, we see that others are also accelerating in this area in recent years. We want to maintain our lead here, and that's why we keep investing in digitization alone and with partners. We serve our customers where and when they want it. We have a mutual identity. We have been convinced since our inception in 210 years ago that together you're stronger than alone. We will be more vocal and bring in our knowledge and the voice of our 10 million clients to solve social issues. We also recently launched a corporate movie to show this and to tell our mutual story. Sustainability is more important than ever. I already spent a few words about it. Sustainability and climate are at the heart of our strategy. In our products and services, for example, with the Interpolis Green Roofs and with Centraal Beheer Solar Panels, we ensure that customers can live more energy efficient. Secondly, we are making our own business operations more and more sustainable. By setting the goal that we want to be carbon neutral by 2030, we force ourselves to take active steps in this regard. Thirdly, we also take our responsibility as a major institutional investor by proactively pointing out their sustainability policy to the companies in which we invest. And we have engagement meetings. To summarize, we are in good shape. We are well on the way with the realization of the strategy, The Sum of Us, and we realized good results. I will now hand over to Michel Lamy to give you more details and insights in the financial results and capital ratios. And after that, of course, I'm willing to take any questions.
Thank you very much, Bianca, and also a warm welcome from me to you all. Happy to present the 2021 interim results. In the first half of 2021, we consistently implemented our financial strategy, which is geared towards improving our operational result, as well as optimizing the use of our capital. In the first half, an increase of our operational result to 363 million from 127 last year. And this increase was driven by increased results in the health activities as well as non-health. Within non-health, the main driver of the improvement of the results is the pension and life company, where the developments are in line with expectations. And at the same time, we had increased investment results on the back of the development of financial markets in the first half of the year, and a strong contribution of the non-life operation. In health, we also recognized a higher result. Supplementary insurance business performed in line with last year, and in particular the basic health insurance had an increased result. The elective care was at a higher level compared to the first half of 2020, but lower than pre-COVID, leading to additional results, and to a minor extent also additional contributions from the statutory catastrophe scheme. The net result amounts to 306 million. The effective tax rate is 15%, lower than the nominal tax rate, and that is due to the fact that the health results are not taxed. In terms of growth, our gross written premium overall decreased by 2%, mainly driven by the decrease of 2% of the premium of the health business. This related to a slight decline in the number of insureds. This was also reported as part of the annual presentation of the 2020 results. And secondly, lower contribution from the health fund. In terms of our non-life business, there was a 2% growth, mainly through online and also through wins in terms of the numbers of clients. And in the pension and life business, there was a decrease of premium in line, obviously, with the service book strategy. And within the retirement services business, obviously, the business model is a fee model, We realized an increase of around 10% of our fee income in the first half of the year. The operating expenses up by 3%, partly due to higher personnel expenses and higher pension charges, mainly in relation to the low interest environment. And we had higher IT expenses in the first half in relation to IT investments, migration and digitization projects. The assets under management is stable. On the one hand, obviously, the impact of the higher interest, which had a downward effect on our assets under management. At the same time, we had new mandates leading to an overall stable position. And solvency robust at 211% compared to the 208 as at the end of 2020. On slide 14, the non-life operational result increased from 91 to 103 million. The combined ratio went up from 93.7 to 95.8, mainly as a consequence of the development in the P&C business. The impact of this was compensated by higher investment results and the growth of the company, which was above 2%. In the P&C business, we see underlying positive development of our results. The results have been impacted by the snowstorm Darcy in the first quarter, as well as additional provisions for personal injury claims relating to previous years. On the positive side, we had lower break-ins and traffic incidents leading to a positive impact to our result. In terms of our income business, income protection business, we see an improvement of our results to 25 million in the first half. This was mainly driven by improvement of the recovery numbers in our disability portfolio, as well as better results in the sickness insurance portfolio due to the premium and portfolio adjustments we have implemented. In terms of the second half year, as noted by Bianca as well, obviously there will be impact of the recent floods in Limburg. It's still early days, although it's a month ago, but clearly it will require further time to fully assess the impact. On the basis of the first estimates, our estimate is that the impact will be up to 50 million, and obviously this will be included in the results of the second half year. In health, we see a strong improvement of our operational results from 7 to 147, mainly driven by an improvement of the basic health insurance result. As noted, there's lower expense in relation to the elective care and additional contributions from the catastrophe scheme. We continue to focus on further cost reduction, and we've realized further cost reduction. And it is also important to note that in line with previous years, we have around 75% of cross-sell between basic health insurance and supplementary health insurance. Also important to note that obviously in the second half of the year, we will set our premiums for 2022. Also, the government will announce the composition of the basic health insurance package, and we will also re-examine whether reserves will be applied to dampen premium increases, and the effects, if any, obviously will be part of the result of the second half year. In pension and life, on slide 16, we see improvement of our results from 71 to 170 million operational result. Again, expectations were met in terms of the developments of the portfolio in line with our service book strategy. Investment results went up. 2020 was impacted by a development of financial markets following COVID. In the first quarter particularly, but also in the second quarter of 2020. So we recognized impairments in 2020. In 2021, we see positive developments of financial markets in the equity markets as well as the real estate markets, leading to additional investment results. In our open book, there's growth in our term life business. In the annuity business, we have a slightly lower volume compared to 2020. The focus in this business for us is margin. And markets were less attractive in the first half of 2021. The retirement services business on slide 17 is really a growth business, a growth strategy. We were able to grow this business significantly over the past couple of years. This year, or the first half, as mentioned, assets under management are stable. Results are slightly down compared to the first half of 2020, from 20 million to 10 million operational result, mainly as a consequence of the bank, where there's a decrease of our net interest margin, mainly driven by a slightly lower production of new mortgages. And we see clearly a mortgage market with fierce competition at this point in time. When we look at the investment management business, significant growth there over recent years. We are investing in the IT transformation, in the infrastructure, leading to a slow decline in our results, a slight decline. Pension services is similar storyline in that the fees have increased over recent years, but we're also investing in the digital pension platform, leading to still a loss-making situation. But obviously, given the growth strategy, we will apply scale synergies in future years, leading to an improvement of our margins. In the real estate and finance company, also one-off expenses in relation to the bundling of our mortgage servicing, as well as IT transformation expenses, leading to a slightly lower result. In terms of international, in line with our strategy, as mentioned by Bianca as well, a premium growth of 5%, 11% adjusted for exchange rate effects. Results slightly down from 28 million to 23 million. Mainly the results in Turkey have decreased, driven by currency developments as well as the natural disasters in Australia. And operating expenses are stable. The acquisition in Slovakia provides us with further scale in the non-life operation, as well as access to distribution of the local post bank and postal offices. The other activities effectively comprise the holding expenses as well as the funding charges. It also includes the reinsurance company. Results are stable. Expenses slightly up, mainly in relation to the mentioned IT investments. The result of Achmea Reinsurance improved significantly compared to the first half of 2020, where the reinsurance company as a result suffered from some major claims, as well as the impact of COVID-19 on the incoming life insurance book. And we see a strong improvement in the first half of this year. Then on slide 21, the development of our solvency ratio. Again, the ratio mid-year is 211%, which we consider a robust solvency ratio. Compared to the end of the year, we had a positive contribution from market developments, mainly positive developments of equity markets, as well as the decreased spread on mortgages, and this more than compensated the negative impact of the UFR drag of the pension and life book, the service book. The results in health and non-life, but also obviously the contribution of our service book, had a positive impact of 6% portfolio developments. There's a one-off impact mid-year in relation to our health business, 4% minus impact on our solvency, and this relates to the fact that due to the COVID situation, we have more prepayments currently than in a normal situation, prepayments to healthcare providers. Obviously, we also have technical provisions for health, and these cannot be netted for solvency purposes, so we have higher technical provisions, leading to a higher required capital in our health company, leading to a minus four impact mid-year, and we expect this to return to normal in the second half. Also, there's impact of the increase of the inflation curve. We make allowance for future inflation, obviously in the solvency of our pension and life company, and we see an uplift in terms of inflation in the first half of the year, and not only in relation to 2021, but also in the forward curve. And this leads to minus three, and obviously impact of the UFR lowering being 1%. The free capital generation on slide 22 is 267, which we consider of a good level, mainly by supported by the operational activities, the free capital generation, as well as positive market developments. And the same drivers of solvency are also reflected here, which led to the overall level of 267. Important to note that the operational results of the health activities are not included in the free capital generation. Then, in terms of ratios, our fixed charge coverage ratio improved to 7.9 on the back of the improvement of the results. Debt leverage also improved to 23.8 from 24 last year, as a consequence of the improvement of our total equity position, and liquidity at the same level as last year and of a good level of 650 million. In earlier sessions, we summarized our maturity profile of our funding. There's no need for refinancing until 2023. And finally, our ratings, S&P A, Fitch ratings A plus for the core insurance entities, have recently been affirmed by S&P and Fitch. Well, this concludes my presentation in terms of the financial overview, and I would like to hand over back to Bianca for the Q&A.
Yeah, thank you, Michel. Well, let's continue indeed with the Q&A. Is there anyone who wants to raise a question?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will start the question and answer session now. If you have a question or remark, please press star 1 on your telephone. Go ahead, please, star 1 for questions or remarks. And the first question is coming from Mr. Stephen Haywood, HSBC. Please go ahead. Your line is open now.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having my question. On your P&C business, you've obviously had, I think, 5% growth in gross written premiums year on year. Can you give a bit more color on what's driving this? And then can you go into detail about, you know, the pricing trends that you're seeing, particularly in motor, and how much sort of COVID frequency benefits you're seeing on your claims currently, and when you expect them disappear? And then secondly for me, I just have two questions. Sorry, that you're looking at your Solvency II ratio roll forward, you've shown a negative for inflation. Can you tell me what your underlying expense inflation assumptions are, please? Thanks.
Yes, thanks for your question. Michel, can you answer those questions?
Yes, thank you, Bianca. Thank you very much, Stephen, for your questions. Indeed, I think what we consistently shown is that the P&C business, but also the income business in total, the non-life business for us is an important growth area. Your question was, well, what is the main driver? I think, part of the answer is also in let's say the presentation of Bianca. We have a multi-channel approach within the Netherlands, and we have a very strong market position, and mainly in terms of distribution, obviously a unique distribution profile, including a strong direct channel and banking channel through Rabobank, but in particular the direct channel, certainly during the COVID period, but also looking back over a longer period, has driven quite some growth in our business. So that's an important growth driver. Your other question related to pricing trends. Obviously, we're present in many markets. So it's very difficult to give a general answer to pricing trends. I think overall, obviously, it's important to stress that for us, pricing is really strategic. So we have a consistent process of following developments within our portfolios and adjust our prices accordingly. Also look for dynamic pricing also to improve our market position. If your question is in relation to the, for example, the motor market currently, we don't see significant uplifts of motor pricing at this point in time. And the same applies for property, although obviously given the weather-related events we had during the year, there could be trends, but it's very early to say at this point in time. Your other question related to what we see in terms of impact of COVID, and I think mainly in relation to our non-life portfolio. When we look at it, obviously, during the first half, there has been developments of COVID, positive and negative. So there have been swings in, let's say, the impact of COVID on society in the first half, impacting also, let's say, development in terms of breakings and accidents. But it's very difficult, obviously, to separate this completely out from the regular trends we have in those areas. What we do see is that mid-year now, the situation seems to be closer to normal than it was earlier on during the first half of the year. So that is our current view, but obviously, in all countries, including the Netherlands, it's still an uncertainty as to what the development of COVID will be over the next couple of months. In relation to your question on solvency and inflation, obviously we take into account in our solvency calculation future costs to handle our service book. And inflation is included, and it's effectively derived, but it's not an exact copy of the CPI index within the Netherlands, and it's the existing CPI index, also obviously including the forward curve. So it's not only the inflation of this year, but also obviously the expected inflation for the remaining duration of the service book.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And the next question is coming from Mr. Marcus Rivaldi, Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. I've got three questions and one clarification as well. So your estimate on storm and flood loss is 50 million, just very simply. Is that net of tax and after reinsurance. Related to that, the number looks relatively small, and maybe that's, you know, the pictures you see in the media suggested it was a, you know, very, very tough storm event. So just wondering if you've got any comments around underinsurance on these sort of events in the Netherlands and whether there's an opportunity for Achmea there. Secondly, on the health guidance for the second half of the year, obviously you're talking about ultimately a degree of premium subsidization going forward. I was wondering if you could just describe maybe some of the factors that you would take into consideration on deciding upon that level of subsidy that you'd give to health premiums going forward. And then just finally, we've seen some peers in the Netherlands, not all by any means, have strategic reviews over their asset management operations. And just wondering your thoughts about whether asset management as a core activity within the group. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you for your questions. I will answer them from a strategic point of view, and maybe Michel can add something. Your first question about the impact of the floods and the 50 million, it's a net estimation, the 50 million. What we see is that the damage from floods for retail customers, they are covered by the Achmea brands, except for Inshared. And what we also see is that the business customers were not completely covered for the floods. However, we decided to pay out our business clients for the damage suffered and expect to be reimbursed by the Dutch government under the disaster law. But that's still uncertain. And it's very difficult to estimate the numbers. Michel already told you also that that not all the claims have been finalized yet. So this is our best estimate. However, it's still uncertain. And looking to the future, we think that we should find a solution together with the government to see how we can manage on the long term and how we can ensure it, especially for the primary flood risks, like the big rivers, so to say. Looking to health premiums, we look to our solvency and we look to a constant premium level for our clients. So it's very difficult to make a projection yet what we will do with the premium on health. But maybe can Michel will go along with that. And your question about asset management, we, of course, also know what's going on in the industry with competitors of us. I think we are very well positioned in asset management. We are a Dutch asset manager. We know exactly how our Dutch institutional clients, how we can service them. And Achmea Investment Management is very well positioned in the fiduciary part. We are one of the biggest fiduciary asset manager. If you look to a multi-client approach, we have scale. So looking to asset management, for us, it's a core activity. And we are very well positioned for the Dutch pension fund market, especially we see that there will be not that many multi-client asset managers in the future in the Netherlands. And it's part of our retirement service strategy. Also looking to the new pension contract, we are one of the players together with our pension fund administrator who serve pension funds already in the new DC schemes. And that's also one of the competitive edges. So to us, asset management is in the core of our strategy and we have enough scale, especially in the fiduciary part. But maybe Michel can tell you something about the health premiums.
Yeah, thank you, Bianca. And maybe also to add on the 50 million, just to clarify, this is 50 million operational results, so it's pre-tax. And it's indeed after reinsurance, but also pre-reinsurance, because our net retention in our business is slightly above the number of 50 million. And in respect of decisions in respect of the premium for health, it's too early to say anything about this because, as mentioned, the government still needs to assess the basic health insurance package. We also take into account the developments over the next couple of months. So it's really too early to say anything about health insurance premium at this point in time. Obviously, if we take a decision which will impact our results, as in the previous year, we will publish a press release providing you with details. But at this point, it's too early to say anything about this yet, unfortunately.
That's fine. Can I just quickly follow up just on the solvency of the health carriers themselves? You mentioned that solvency is a consideration. Could you just remind me what the level of solvency you'd be willing to run those to as at a minimum level, please, and where they currently stand?
Our health company is currently at a solvency of 164. In respect of our capital policy, obviously we have minimal levels which we would like to apply. This is significantly lower. It's approximately at 135. But this is not to say that we are willing to, apply capital to the level of that solvency ratio. But it's just to give you an indication of the, the solvency of the health insurance company.
That's very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For further questions or remarks, please press star one. There are no further questions. Please continue.
Okay, then thank you very much for dialing in and to listen to the story behind our half-year figures. And hopefully we can meet in person after COVID and maybe in a capital markets day later on. So have a good afternoon and thank you all.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes this Achmea event call. You may now disconnect your line. Thank you.